2. Questions 13 to 22. Section 1. Questions 13 to 17. You will hear 5 short recordings about delivery problems. For each recording, decide which problem the speaker talks about. Write one letter, A to H, next to the number of the recording. Do not use any letter more than once. After you have listened once, replay the recordings. You have 15 seconds to read the list A to H. Now listen and decide which problem each speaker talks about.
Once I needed to replace our office chairs, so I compared products in several manufacturers' brochures, chose the model that best suited our purposes, and ordered 10 of them. Well, they were supposed to be delivered within 28 days. And when they finally arrived, practically at the last minute in fact, we found that the description in the brochure had given quite a false impression of them. We sent them back and had a lot of trouble with the manufacturer.
I run a small beauty salon, just the one site, so my orders are quite small quantities compared with the big chains. But I still expect my suppliers to provide a high level of customer service. And with all the packaging that's available these days, it should be easy enough to ensure consignments are properly protected. But more than once, I've had to return goods because when they arrived, they weren't in a fit state to be used.
We're a small printing firm, so of course we get regular supplies of ink and paper. The way it works, we sign a contract with a supplier for a year at a time, and they send the same quantity each month, unless we phone to change it, of course. Well, one year, we didn't renew the contract with our regular ink supplier, but the month after it expired, they sent the usual order. We weren't impressed, I must say.
I'm responsible for centralized ordering for a multi-site organization. We're a chain of builders merchants, and it's amazing how often suppliers get confused. Of course, we double-check the paperwork before sending it to them, but even so, things happen like the time bathroom equipment arrived at head office instead of one of the branches, which was desperate for the goods. And once, boxes of mouse mats meant for head office turned up along with window frames and bricks.
I'm a store manager in a chain that sells arts and crafts equipment. Our central warehouse orders goods boxed up in small amounts, ready to go straight onto the shelves of the stores. For example, poster paints usually come in boxes of 10. Everything's then distributed to the branches when it's required. But in the last delivery, the warehouse received the right number of pens, but in boxes of 1,000. It took ages to sort it out.
Now listen to the recordings again. Section 2. Questions 18 to 22. You will hear another 5 recordings. 5 people are talking about project management. For each recording, decide what action the speaker is recommending. Write one letter, A to H, next to the number of the recording. Do not use any letter more than once. After you have listened once, replay the recordings. You have 15 seconds to read the list A to H.
Now listen and decide what action each speaker is recommending.
I can tell you from my own experience that the most important thing in project management is not to try to do everything yourself. That'll lead to problems sooner rather than later. You must plan which tasks you really need to do yourself and then delegate responsibility for each of the other tasks to others. You should, of course, make sure the members of your team have the initiative and flexibility necessary for such responsibilities.
19.
I think it's absolutely crucial that all the people to whom you've delegated responsibilities should get together at least once a month so that you can all share information about how your own bits of the project are going. If you don't do that, then it's easy to assume something has been done by someone else when it hasn't. After all, not everyone has the same level of motivation. Email contact is great, of course, but nothing beats face-to-face communication.
20. You have to get off to a good start, which means you have to be absolutely clear about what your aims are right from the start. These should be discussed with a team and should be put in writing so that everyone shares full knowledge about the precise parameters of the project. I know from several projects I've been involved with that confusion about goals often leads to problems early on, problems which could very easily have been prevented.
21. When you're working on a new project, you have to delegate, of course. But if anything starts to go wrong, you should handle it yourself. As project manager, it is up to you to keep a close eye on how things are progressing. You should try to predict any difficulties and sort them out immediately so the project can move on. There are many tasks that can be handed over to other people, but not this.
22.
Planning things in detail is, of course, vital. However, it makes sense to ensure that your initial plan incorporates a degree of adaptability. You and your project team can't assume that circumstances will stay the same forever, and so it makes sense for your plan not to be so rigid that it cannot take account of any developments and changes in circumstance. It should not, of course, need to stray from its basic objectives.
Now listen to the recordings again. That is the end of part 2.